Hello, everyone, and welcome to another classic edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson with my co-host and physician-in-residence, Dr. Meg Meeker. And Meg, today we're going to once again wind back the clock and enjoy the conclusion of a program we started last time titled Being a Father at Work and at Home.
We sure are, Ryan. As I'm sure all of our listeners are aware, Father's Day is coming up this weekend. And because of that, we're taking some time this week to encourage the dads in our audience. As you mentioned earlier, Ryan, this is a classic broadcast featuring our former co-host, Luann Crane. So let's pick up with your dad as he opens the program on this edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
I need to kind of give our listeners a visual picture here. While we recorded that discussion, we were just surrounded by a small crowd of college students, and I gave them the opportunity to ask some questions of Robert after the interview. They were young men, many looking ahead to marriage and children, but the questions they asked brought some very insightful answers from Robert. And so we're going to let our listeners hear that interchange today.
Well, let's get started now with our first question asked of Robert Wolgemuth here on this Family Talk broadcast.
It's been my heart's desire to be a godly father and a godly husband to my wife. And my question is, I'm not really sure how to incorporate the buddy system into my life now before I'm a father, because I think that's important. To have that established before I'm a father. Could you address that?
Sure, find somebody. I mean, it's as simple as that. You make a decision that you want a friend who is committed to being a godly man, and just start talking to that person. Ask them questions about what motivates them, what drives them, what dreams they have, and you begin to share your own dreams. You know, love must be tough is maybe one of the most important things Dr. Dobson ever wrote, because what he talks about is absolute candor in relationships, where you say, I know you think that what you just said sounds like this, but it sounds like this. Or I suspect that what's really motivating you to do this is this, not what you say. That's love. I mean, love is the other side. It's the tender, warm side, but it's also the confrontational side that says, there's just something that doesn't ring true about that. And, you know, you wonder when you look at great people who fall, Christian leaders, other folks, if you could peel the layers back to the point in time where they were trying to decide what to do, if somebody had been there and said, you know what, that doesn't make sense to me. Somebody with whom they'd built a relationship, somebody they trusted, they could have saved their lives. So it isn't too soon to start in that kind of relationship. The interesting thing is, and this is just something that's in our genes, I doubt if a woman in this room would ever stand at the microphone and say what you just said. There's something natural. Now, there may be some exceptions, but there's something natural about a woman's makeup that makes her feel comfortable talking with a friend. In fact, when was the last time a guy called you for no reason at all? See, when's the last time a guy called you? I mean, all of us are purpose-driven, all men, most men are most.
Yeah,
are
small talk, and then the reason I'm
exactly,
calling.
Exactly,
yeah.
That's right. Fasten your seatbelt. Mm-hmm. Here's why I really called. Mm-hmm. Women, I know this is going to come as a shock to the women in this room, but often call each other for no good reason, but just to check in. And what they do is they set the table for a question, for an opportunity to give advice. We don't do that as well. That's one of the reasons why I've written the book to men. And in many cases, I get letters from women who say, I gave this book at my husband. I threw it at him, but he actually read it. There isn't anything more exciting than that for an author to hear that. But a lot of it comes right back to the fact that we're not naturally built for that kind of buddy system. In fact, if you listen to the conversation among men, it's sports a lot, especially, you know, during tournament times, guys have a lot to talk about, or the weather or their jobs. But you go down one notch to how do you feel about what's happening in the Middle East? Or when was the last time you were really discouraged? Guys don't do that. Women do that much better. So my encouragement to you is find somebody and get started.
Now, when you're talking about the buddy system, are you talking about finding a mentor or a peer?
Yeah, I'm talking about both. In fact, one of the wonderful things.
It's an age factor.
I'll tell you what. One of the things throughout Scripture, this is just a little aha. And you find it in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Many of the great and successful godly leaders you find in Scripture, listen to this, had a student, they had a friend, and they had a mentor. And I'll tell you what, if you want an assignment that will keep you in good shape the rest of your life, that sounds like I'm preaching. I'm not. I'm saying this to myself. Find a student, find a friend, find a mentor.
And the you'll be students who are here have been invited here for that purpose, to pass along these ideas to the younger generation. And it's wonderful that they come. And we hear a lot of good things coming back from the students in terms of the way they respond to that.
That's wonderful.
Okay, next question.
Hi. You talked about how well we feel equipped to be a father. You talked about worries or possible inadequacies, and I was like, whoa, I feel an inadequacy. Currently, the girl that I'm courting pretty seriously, I have felt an inadequacy just in this level of relationship as being a spiritual leader. It's at times it feels a tremendous weight and something that I know, man, I'm not living up to this, and there's so much more room to improve and to, I just see the lack. I was talking to her about it, and she encouraged me in this and saying, well, the Lord has us here now and has appointed you to be who you are in my life and has appointed you a leader of this relationship. And because of that, he has anointed you to fulfill that. Could you comment on that, just some thoughts, reflections?
Bob, let me pass it to you. Before I do, let me just say that the fact that you're kind of anxious about that is a good thing. It's as though you were going in to take a test and your hands get a little sweaty. That means all the systems are working. That means the adrenaline is pumping, and that means your brain's alert. That's good. That anxiety is good. And I'd much rather you would approach fatherhood that way, saying, man, this is a big job. This is going to take everything I've got to do it, than to go into it glibly, not even understanding the challenges that are involved. Yeah. I think it's a good thing, what you've
said. It is a good thing. There's a point at which, however, the anxiety becomes paralyzing.
Yes.
Don't let that happen either. Every great athlete, even the veterans, are nervous in the locker room before the game. If they aren't, you worry about them. There's a certain sense at which being aware of that puts you on the right kind of edge. Now, here's something that'll keep us all on edge: principalities and powers. I mean, if we could see the spiritual warfare that is just waiting for our families and for ourselves, we'd live differently. For example, if you were on a bus and you were taking a tour of Europe, and the guy said, now we're going to go down and we're going to look at a castle. So, you know, you're sitting there and you've got your little plastic badge. Hi, my name is so-and-so, on this little guided tour. And he takes you by this castle and you're kind of bored. Now, change of scenes. You're in a military campaign. You're in a personnel carrier. The person talking is your commanding officer. And on that site, you're going to do battle tomorrow. Are you paying attention differently than when you're on a tour bus? Absolutely. You're looking at the turrets. You're looking at the places in the rock where you could put your rifle. You're looking at the trees where the enemy could hide. See, it's a whole different thing. Once you understand principalities and powers, then you live life at the front of your chair, not paralyzed by fear, because perfect love casts out fear, that God is adequate. He is completely adequate. But you better be on the edge of your seat, because it's a battle.
And you can't do it in your own strength.
Right.
You talk about prayer in this book, that is the centerpiece of family life. Because if you think you can do it on your own, you can no more be a perfect father than you can be a perfect human being.
Right.
And there are all these dangers and faults, and we're all selfish, and we all have, you know, we see through a dark glass and so on. But it's prayer that gets you through it.
Right.
And with prayer, even if you make those mistakes, the Lord can lead and guide and bring good out of it.
Yeah, so. And a parent's faith makes them not perfect, but more transparent, more willing to ask forgiveness, more affectionate, more affirming, all those things, not more perfect. That's impossible, of course.
Right. Next question.
I don't really have a question, but I just wanted to make a comment over everything that's been said today. I was just sitting in my chair thinking about my own father and to affirm everything that's been said. The other day I was thinking, how I missed him, and we were in the middle of class, and I just called him in the middle of class, and I called him for like 20 minutes, and he dropped everything, you know, that he was doing, and he just talked to me. And I was thinking the other night when I called my mother, and both of them, he came and ran to the phone, and he listened like for an hour. I mean, everything that I was saying. But I basically simply want to say, maybe to even the fathers that are out in the world today who are listening, that, I mean, I am who I am today, and my best friend, you know, is my dad. And without a dad who drops everything that he does in his everyday life for me, I mean, I know I cannot be the person who I am today and not be here today. You know, he's coached me all through sports, and he's gotten off work to attend all my games, and, you know, he's just done everything that, I mean, I believe everything that you said today that a father's supposed to be. And, I mean, I just want to say to any other father to be that kind of father to your own child, and God will honor that completely.
And you plan to do that?
Yes, sir.
Someday.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Christians aren't real comfortable sometimes with the word luck, but I'll tell you, Seth, you're a lucky man. Mm-hmm. You are. In fact, just while you're saying that, I know that Dr. Dobson was thinking this. How much would you pay to pick up the phone and call your daddy?
Everything that I own.
Yeah.
Yeah, just to take him on a tour, put an arm around him, tell him how much I appreciate what he contributed to my life, the sacrifices he made. You know, put me through college when he was providing things for me that he and my mother didn't have. I guess you could call it luck. I think it's a little divine blessing in that.
There's a story I tell in the book about two priests walking down the street, and one of them just dropped dead. And these men had been colleagues for decades. And one of them, the other one, knelt down next to this fallen friend and just began to pound on his chest, and people thought he was trying to revive him. But as they listened, he was saying, "Don't die until I tell you how much I love you." Mm-hmm. What I would say is, don't let anybody in your life, and forget dying, don't let them wake up tomorrow without you letting them know how much you love them. In fact, there are two kinds of people. People who write thank you notes and I love you notes, and people who don't. Be a person who writes notes. Seth, your daddy, every once in a while, to get just a handwritten 4x6 card from you that says, "You have no idea how much I love you and how grateful I am for you." And I'll tell you what, that'll go in whatever file he has that he'll check into the rest of his life. But that's another idea of both work and home. You know, be the kind of person at work that says to your employees in a handwritten note, "Boy, you don't have any idea how grateful I am for your hard work." I mean, what's that worth? That's more valuable than a paycheck. So thank you, Seth.
Okay, next question.
I have 7 nieces and nephews, or 5 nieces and 2 nephews, and wonderful, wonderful kids, and I love them, but I have a hard time with just, like, how do you hold a baby? How do you show your affection towards them? Do you have any comments on how to do that as a guy for my own children?
Wow. Well, first of all, an uncle is a free adult. You have a powerful role in the lives of those kids. You're never going to say, "Take a lap, clean your room, stand up straight." You won't. You're a free adult. You will have a powerful influence on those kids because of that. You know, the truth is that, obviously, again, because of our culture, there's a lot of apprehension about touching. I mean, it'd be silly tonight to say what I just said, because all of us think about those kinds of things. And that starts in your heart. So I would say that as long as that's clear in terms of how you hold and touch, go for it. Go for it. And, you know, a little boy responds better to a tassel of the hair or a sock in the arm or a wrestle on the living room floor. And a little girl may want you to stop and enjoy a cup of tea with her and a little... Seriously. So, but you'll know what's right. But I would say, I would encourage you to don't hold back. To be a hugging, hand-slapping, encouraging, go-for-it, affectionate uncle. You'll have a great role in their lives.
And when you hold your own, it changes everything.
That's right.
And you will know what to do.
Yeah.
At least after the first week, you will.
That's true.
Okay. That's true. After you've changed a few diapers, it gets... No, it never did get easier, did it? I don't think so. I did change diapers. I just didn't
I
like it.
I thought you said we're in a hurry here.
Go ahead and ask your question.
I have a dad a lot like you. He's very tough. He always was on his knees, always forced me to get on my knees. And that for that, I kind of resented that. Now I don't resent that at all. But he always worked. That was always priority, was work, and he was always gone a lot. And I always grew up shaking hands, never intimate, you know, he has one son, and that son has to grow up to be a man, and that man has to be tough, and that's the way it was. And and I guess my question would be, how as a son, or even as a father in this position, how would he confront his father to come home and be the loving, intimate dad that God intended him to be?
Well, part of respect is to be very careful about the boundaries that you have and don't have with your dad. I would encourage you to be affectionate. Do what's normal for you in terms of, you know, if a hug to your dad, and he may be standing there with his hands at his side, or he'd be kind of a half hug back. Do what comes naturally for you, but don't build expectations that are unrealistic. In fact, the truth is, in every relationship you have, including your dad, your mom, and your best friend, you can't control the relationship. You can only control your part of the relationship. You can't control their response to you. So I'd encourage you to do things that feel natural to you. And I'd also encourage you to put stuff in writing. See, your dad may not be the tactile hug a guy. That may be totally foreign to him. But you can get to his heart probably through reading things that you write to him. And I have a very good friend whose name would come to mind, or comes to mind right now, of course, that I won't say. But over the years of our friendship, we've been good friends for about 15 years. First time we met, he said he didn't recall his dad ever saying, "I love you," or hugging him. And that's changed over the last 15 years, because Billy and I have gone through this program as just exactly as I've described. Not because his dad didn't love him, but because Billy needed him to express his love in a certain way. He just needed it. And I've seen these guys hug outside of church. And I've actually heard his dad tell him that he loves him. So you can have that effect. Don't count on it. You can have that effect, but be sure you're doing what's right for you, what feels comfortable for you in terms of your affection. And I encourage you every once in a while to drop a note and be as mushy as you want. Yeah, do it.
Jake, I want to ask you a question. What kind of father will you be? You look at your dad as the role model. Are you going to adopt some of his characteristics, or do you want to be a very different kind of father?
You know, I'm sure there'll be a lot of characteristics that I will adopt, but there'll be a lot that I won't. I've gone through a long process of replacing the mistakes that my father's made and looking to my Heavenly Father for the ultimate example, and to see exactly how he relates with me. And that has filled in all the mistakes and all the emptiness that my dad has left.
Yeah. Let me ask all of you around the room here. How many of you see some pretty serious mistakes that your parents made? Okay. Because you will make them too. And we do have to have a measure of charity and forgiveness, because they can't do it perfectly, and you won't either. And I had a father tell me not long ago that his son was very bitter because of the mistakes that he made, and he was trying so hard to do it right, and he couldn't do it perfectly. And I suggested that he sit down and talk to him and say, "You're right. These things are shortcomings. These are faults. I wonder if when your child is my age, he will sit down with a list for you." You know, we have to accept one another in our imperfection and in our faults. And you may need to do that with your dad to some degree. Okay. All right. Next question.
Like you said earlier, I'm one of the lucky ones. My dad was one. Growing up, he was a father, and now he's my best friend, you know, always giving hugs and everything. And I'm lucky for that. And hopefully, God willing, I can show my kids that, the same love he showed me. My question is, what can we do as young adults, as young men, going to be fathers, or even young women? What can we do now to get ready for that day when that happens?
Well, we've talked about that a lot. That is, there's a sense in which, as Dr. Dobson said, you can never prepare for that baby being your own baby. I mean, you can't. It's just not. You can hold 1,000 babies, and it still won't be the same. So I would encourage you to continue on the things that we're talking about here in terms of your own preparation as a man of God, and those other things will begin to fall in place. Again, I would say that I don't really enjoy little kids. It's just not my nature. I mean, if there were a room full of little kids and a room full of other people, I wouldn't say, let's go play with the kids. That's just not my nature. When we had children, I went crazy. I mean, in terms of just my love for our children. So you need to do what's natural to you. But again, when your children come, it'll be a whole different thing. I talk about this both in this book and She Calls Me Daddy, about the moment of being handed that baby and, you know, seeing her face. And, you know, she looked like a lizard. Let's call it what it is. But she was the most beautiful thing I'd ever seen in my whole life. I mean, her skin is red and ruddy and her head's all oblong from the birth and all. Who cares? It's the most beautiful thing you've ever seen in your life.
She's gorgeous today, I can say.
Well, yeah, but don't worry about homework on that one. Again, you need to be who you are. We've talked about that. Be absolutely who you are. Be a godly man, and God will open your heart to certain things. You know, he expands your life as you have children and gives you just the right kind of role to play in their lives based on who you are, not what book you've read or who your mentors are. God will give all that to you straight from his heart to yours. You'll be a good one.
We've been talking about the book, Daddy at Work. The subtitle says, Loving Your Family, Loving Your Job, Being Your Best in Both Worlds. And this book has practical advice for mothers and fathers. And thank you for being here to share it with us. And thank you to all the students who are here for participating with us. It's been a pleasure having you here. We'll do it again. Bob, it's always good to have you here.
Thanks, Jim. My pleasure.
Well, we hope this Family Talk broadcast has been an encouragement, especially to you dads, as we get ready for a pretty nice holiday this weekend, Ryan.
I can't wait. I love it. It's taken on such a new meaning now having Lincoln, and it gives me so much more appreciation for my own dad. Mm-hmm. Looking back to see how much effort and forethought he put into our relationship. And I'm trying to model that with Lincoln, and it's fun. It's so much fun. I can't wait to have all of us together on Father's Day and barbecue and hang out, and it'll be neat.
And speaking from the female point of view, Ryan, obviously we're not fathers, but we had fathers. And
That's right.
Think back of the impact that my dad had on me in my growing up years and continues to, even as a grown woman today. There's a lot of people like me out there who are reflecting on their dads right now. Mm. We've heard from several of you on Facebook. Let me just share one that really touched our hearts. It's from Melinda, and she said, My father loves to read. He was a police officer with the Forest Patrol when I was growing up and rarely had evenings off, but when he was home, he would read with me at bedtime. Mm. Of course, I wanted to stay up later. I did that all the time. And I'd make him read every little detail in my books, even down to the copyright date. He always obliged. It's just a little thing, but those are the moments that make the biggest differences sometimes.
I think Lincoln may have written that as well. He loves to stay up late reading. And you know what? What a bond. Mm-hmm. What a great dad to read the copyright, to read every little last detail, saying with your actions, I care about you. I know that you want to continue this. I know you want to drag it out a little bit, and I'm there for you.
And the way Melinda says it was a little thing, it wasn't a little thing. It really made a big impact.
It did. I love Facebook for that reason. We're trying to have this conversation and, you know, getting into social media and responding back and hearing from listeners. It's so different than when my dad started in radio.
And if you would like to visit our Facebook page or find resources about how to make this Father's Day extra special, visit our website, drjamesdobson.org. Or you can also contact us by calling 877-732-6825.
You've been listening to the conclusion of a classic program titled Being a Father at Work and at Home with our guest Robert Wolgemuth on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. Thanks very much for joining us today, and we'll see you again next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not affiliated with Focus on the Family.
Hi, this is Ryan Dobson for Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk, and I want to take a moment to let you know about a really exciting opportunity for you to be a part of what God is doing through Family Talk. We have recently received a $400,000 matching grant that doubles every gift you give to equip and empower parents and families. Every dollar you donate this month to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk immediately becomes $2 towards preserving and promoting the institution of the family. And it's an excellent opportunity to join us in our work, and we can't do it without the faithful support of our listeners. So if you'd like to help us reach the goal of $400,000 and maximize the potential of this grant, please call us right now at 877-732-6825. You can also donate on our website, drjamesdobson.org, on our Facebook page, or through our Family Talk smartphone app.